Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I can. There's a bit of an echo there. It's good to be together again, isn't it? It's just a joy, and it's a joy for me to be able to stand before you and bring God's word. You know, this Paul's letter to Ephesus is such a powerful and a beautiful message. And it's just full of praise and thanksgiving to our mighty God. So as I've been studying it and looking at it these past weeks, it's just filled me again to that overwhelming love of our Heavenly Father. And our prayer, as Isabel prayed, is that, you know, we would all grab hold of the love of the Father that he has for us, not just for today, but throughout the whole of our lives. And I really would like to encourage you to take this passage and very prayerfully spend some time in it and allow the words and the truth of God's word to really soak in to your spirit and to strengthen you and to allow that word to go really deep inside of you. And we've been talking about our identity in Christ, and it's really important that we claim our identity in Christ as the foundation of our faith. And in Matthew 5-7 and in Luke 6, which are commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us how we should live and build that strong foundation. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them in practice is like a man who built his house on a rock. And we all know this story, probably from Sunday school. And the rain came down and the streams rose up and the wind blew and bashed against the house. The Bible says beat against the house. But it did not fall. And we are blessed by God because that's his heart. That when we go through trials and tribulations, we will only survive if we stand firm in Christ. And in Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted by Satan. And after 40 days of fasting in the desert, Satan tried to place Jesus' identity in doubt. What did he say? If you are the Son of God. But it did not work because Jesus absolutely knew his identity and was able to refute Satan's attacks by using the word of God. And the same applies to us. Satan will try and cast doubt into our minds as to our identity. And he will choose his moment to do that. And just like Jesus, we need to stand firmly on the word of God, not shaken by Satan's attempts to deceive us, but to be sure-footed and battle-ready. Paul uses the phrase in Christ or in him 7 times in this passage that was read for us this morning. And we probably use the phrase ourselves in recognition of our submission to a creator God who loves us unconditionally, watches over us and protects us, disciplines us, holds our past, our present, and our future in his hands. And this act of submission requires repentance, faith, and forgiveness. Repentance, as John the Baptist preached it, and also Jesus. Repentance involves that radical change of direction in both our behavior and in our thought. And it shows a recognition of a commitment to Christ. And what a wonderful witness Jenny, who's with us this morning, Sam and Dave and James were to us last week. And as we all grow together, we should expect to see change into our lives. Faith is that ongoing commitment to Christ through his word and believing that it is true. Forgiveness is a way of life. We receive forgiveness of God as the spirit of forgiveness operates in us. And none of this is possible until we receive the Holy Spirit and invite him to dwell in us, allowing him to bring that transformation from the inside out. Simply put, when we are in Christ, this phrase which Paul uses, we accept Christ as the center and source of all blessing, made possible only because Christ is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus on the cross, we cannot be unified with God. And as Graham explained to us last Sunday, our thinking and behavior cannot change unless we recognize our need of a savior and our submission to God. Paul wrote this letter to all believers to give in-depth teaching about how to nurture and maintain the unity of the church and to encourage and challenge believers to function as a living body of Christ here on earth. And we need all of these things. We need in-depth teaching. We need encouragement. We need challenges. Therefore, this letter is as relevant to us as it was in AD 60. We are a diverse church. We are a diverse congregation here in West Street, and we rejoice in that. And the one thing that draws us together is our identity in Christ. All of us here who love Jesus Christ are committed to serving him as saints and faithful in Christ. This is our identity. As saints, we're not dead or canonized and given to us by man. We're living individuals who have dedicated ourselves to the worship and to the service of a one true God, as revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the word saint in Greek means to set apart, to sanctify, to make holy. And verse 7 of this passage brings us the truth that when we are in Christ, we have been set free from bondage and slavery. And this takes us back to Exodus 6 and 12, when God brought his people out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. He gave instructions for the blood of a one-year-old male lamb without defect to be put on the doorposts and the lintels to prevent the wrath of God touching them. For us, our Passover lamb is Jesus. Jesus bore the judgment, the punishment that falls on our sin. Sin matters to God. He does not and he cannot ignore sin, but the blood of Jesus covers us. The price was paid on the cross where Jesus shed his blood for us, and we can be forgiven in accordance with the riches of God's grace. But we do not deliberately continue to sin. The cross confronts us with our sin and reminds us that God's grace is extravagant. God is making the payment in accordance with the riches of his grace, not from the riches of his grace. And this means that God's grace is beyond calculation. It's above all limits. You cannot exhaust the riches of God's grace. We've been saved from sin's penalty. We are being saved from sin's power. And one day we will be saved from sin's presence. And Romans chapter 5 reminds us that we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. Can there be any greater blessing? To be blessed is to be happy in a very full and rich sense. Blessings come from God, and God's blessedness means that he delights himself fully in all that reflects his character. God has the fullness of joy in himself. And when God finished his work of creation, he looked at all that he had made and he said, "Very good, it is very good." And we imitate God's blessedness when we find delight and happiness in all that is pleasing to God. Just think for a moment about the things that bless you. And ask yourself, is this something that will bless and delight God? And I fully expect that what is blessing you is an attribute of God himself. And the reason why it blesses us is because we delight in the source of God's good qualities. Deuteronomy 28 lists for us the blessings for obedience. The blessing in the New Testament is not so much physical, but spiritual. Although the outworking of God's blessing usually is physical. The spiritual blessing which Paul states here comes to us through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and is God's favour. That favour rests upon us and enriches our life no matter what our circumstances are. God's promise to Abraham serves as a foundation for our blessing. And in Genesis 12, we read, "All peoples on earth shall be blessed." It's God's intention and desire to bless humanity. And it's a central part of God's covenant relationship with us who believe. In Christ, we have all the benefits of knowing God, being chosen for salvation, being adopted as his children, forgiveness, insight, the gifts of the Spirit, the power to do God's will, the hope of living forever with Christ. And we have those blessings because we have an intimate relationship with Christ. We have them now, and we have them in the future. And the fact that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms relates to the ascension of Christ, who by his shed blood took away our sin. And whilst Christ was on earth, we could not realize fully our heavenly privileges as sons. Now our citizenship is in heaven, where our high priest is always blessing us. Our treasures are there. Our hope is there. Our inheritance is there. It's where we raise our eyes to Jesus, who is the source of the spiritual blessings through the Holy Spirit promised to us as a gift by Jesus as he ascended into heaven. And this means that the blessings are eternal. They're not temporal. We can look at this passage in chapter 2, verse 6, and see the amazing truth that we are raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. And in 1:20, speaks of the power of God that is available to us and encourages us by revealing to us God's victorious, exalted role as ruler of all. And we share in that, not as proud rulers, but in humility as servants. Just allow me to expand a little bit on this heavenly citizenship. by using a story Jesus told when he was teaching his disciples in John chapter 6. Jesus invited his disciples to feed the crowd who had followed him to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus turned to Philip and asked, "Where shall we find bread for these people to eat?" And Philip answered, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a small bite." And then Andrew Simon spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But how far will they go for so many?" Jesus was testing Philip. Here we see Philip with his earthly thinking. Andrew Simon was nearly there and would have been if he'd have stopped at declaring what the boy had and then offered that to Jesus. And we can be the same. We can think from our earthly standpoint and not as being seated in heavenly realms. A personal example was when I approached a very old lady who was walking with a stick and who'd asked for prayer. And I asked her what she needed prayer for. And she said, "I want to see. I can't read my Bible." Immediately, like Philip, I thought, "Well, you're old. You've probably got cataracts. You know, what do you expect?" And then thankfully, in a nanosecond, I repented of my earthly thoughts and prayed from a heavenly standpoint for her sight to be restored. And then I gave her the Bible and asked her to read a passage. She read a passage. We are raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. I would like to remind you of the power of blessing. We see it when God blessed Abraham and how that comes down through the family line in the Old Testament and carries forward into our family line. I have seen families and households changed when the spiritual head of that family blesses his wife and children instead of cursing them through ungodly behavior and spoken words. A blessing can and does change relationships. If you are out of relationship with family, friends, work colleagues, or people that you know, I invite you to repent of ungodly thoughts and behavior. Choose to forgive and then bless them. And keep blessing them day after day, every time they come into your thoughts. Bless them. And you will be amazed how God changes our hearts, my heart, your heart, and in so doing, redeems the ungodly relationships. We are chosen. We are set apart, sanctified, and made holy by God. Paul emphasizes this in verse 4. He says, God chose us. Did he choose us when we became Christians? Did he choose us because we came to church this morning? Did he choose us because he's given us a task? No. He chose us before the creation of the world. Our salvation depends totally on God. We do not deserve it. We have no influence over it because it comes to us by God's grace according to his plan. We may not always feel like saints and faithful in Christ Jesus because our sin, but that's what we are. That's the truth of it. Our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. We are holy and blameless in the sight of God. When God looks at us, he no longer sees our sin. He sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus. God's holiness means that he is separated from sin and provides a pattern for us to imitate. In Leviticus and in 1 Peter 1, God commands that you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. So God has set us apart to be devoted to him, to serving him, and to obey him. We accept God's discipline, knowing that he wants us to share in his holiness. And this comes with being chosen to be different, not blending in with the world. And what makes us different is God's qualities in our lives. Our focus and our priority must be for him, in direct contrast to how we used to be. It's good to reflect from time to time just where we were before we knew Jesus. And when we ask ourselves before doing or saying something, we should say, think about, will what I am thinking of doing or saying please God? And if the answer is no or not sure, just don't do it. And then ask Holy Spirit to help us to please God and empower us to overcome sin. Being chosen in him awakens up us to faith. So how does this happen? When the gospel is presented to us, the Holy Spirit convinces us it is true. And as we recognize the truth, then the Holy Spirit helps us to apply it to ourselves. And then once we've been convinced of a need of a Saviour, Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. And none of this is built on human wisdom, but on God's power. We can try to figure it out, but ultimately, we must take that step of faith. But God enables us to believe. He doesn't believe for us. It is God who takes the initiative. The blessings are ours because God's resolve that goes way back before the creation of the world. Why did God choose you? Because he loves you. He loves you. If justice was served, he would not choose us. We are chosen to become holy. It was in love that God predestined and adopted us. God reached out and laid hold of me and you and marked us with a seal of ownership as a slave of Christ. And in doing so, guaranteed our inheritance. Our being in Christ is anchored in eternity. Knowing this enables us to live in humility, dignity, and security to the praise of his glory. A seal in biblical times, as of today, is used to guarantee security to indicate ownership. And the Holy Spirit seals those who trust in Christ. The Spirit's presence is God's guarantee that we as believers are owned by God and secure in him. And since the role of the Holy Spirit is to apply Christ's work in us, he anoints us in Christ the moment we believe. God anointed Christ with the Spirit at his baptism to mark the inauguration of his messianic work. And in the same way, when we are baptized, as witnessed last week, this public confession marks us out as belonging to God. We are a secure member of God's family as the Spirit applies those promises of God into our lives. Marked with a seal comprises the down payment that anticipates the future, full redemption of God's marked possession. We are marked as a new self, a recreation, God indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God separates us from our past, and we have a moral responsibility as God's children to live a holy life. our sanctification or growing in the likeness of Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit in us that we cannot ignore and results in practical acts of godliness. I'll just finish in a few moments, but in this letter, Paul extols the wonder of God's amazing love. It's almost a doxology, a song of praise to God. It's a symphony of salvation. The gospel of God's gospel message just all wrapped up in one letter. And Paul takes us on that journey of discovering God in his word and through the word of his son. And we learn that in Christ we are new creation. In John 17, Jesus prays for us as believers. He wants us to know that the love that the Father has for us is the same love that the Father has for Jesus. That's amazing. It's an everlasting love beyond any human comprehension. And I believe that in this letter, we can just catch a glimpse of God's love for us. And that love needs to really penetrate into our spirits to the exclusion of all doubt. We're going to move into a time of worship, but also an opportunity for us to come to the front and forgive anyone who we need to forgive. The cross is here, there's some hammers and nails and some red discs. And if Holy Spirit has just been bringing anyone to your mind whom you do need to forgive, please be brave and take that step. If you wish to impart blessings on troubled relationships, or bless a nation that is particularly on your heart, we have here leaves of blessing, and I invite you to come forward, take a leaf, and put it onto the tree. And if you would like some individual prayer, we've got John and Clarissa here to pray for you. And for those of our members who are on Zoom, Ruth and Heather, and I did see Gordon up there too, and I'm sure they are ready to pray for you. If you would like a prayer, please, if you know how to do, use the raise hand symbol. I'm not talking to the Zoom people, but I'm looking at you all sitting here. You can raise your hand if you wish, that's perfectly all right. And Jo will pick that up and she will pop you into a breakout room so that you can have some prayer on a one-to-one basis. Also, if you would like to use the blessings and have a blessing placed on the tree on your behalf, those of you on Zoom, then again, if you indicate and let us know that, we've got people who can come and do that on your behalf. Please feel free to come forward during the worship at any time as the Holy Spirit prompts you. And as the worship starts, I just want to pray God's truth in his word that we can read in Ephesians. Holy Spirit, now speak these words of truth, I pray, that we would have open hearts to receive and that the truth of God's word would come into our spirits. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are holy, blameless, covered with God's love. We are adopted as God's children. Our sins are taken away and we are forgiven. We are marked as belonging to God by the Holy Spirit. We've been raised up to sit with Christ in glory. We are God's work of art. We have been brought near to God. We can come with freedom and confidence into God's presence. And like Paul, our response must be, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen.